Good morning.
Good morning.
That was good. Everybody sounded awake today. The sun's shining, and God is good.
All the time.
Good. He really, really is good. Hey, look around at somebody. Give them a smile, a wave, a wink. Just let them know that you're glad that they're here today. You're glad to be in the Lord's house today. If you're part of our online audience, be sure to say hello to one another. We don't have Dr. Cazito is getting ready to be right there with you, but be sure to give him a hearty hello and let him know you love him. We appreciate all he does to monitor and be with our online audience so that you all feel online a part of us as we gather here together today. But we're so glad that you were here with us on, I always call this Memorial Day. Memorial Day is actually tomorrow, but every day should be Memorial Day as we think about those who sacrificed their lives that we may have the freedoms that we truly have. So we observe that. We like to take that time each and every year on what I affectionately call Memorial Day Sunday to pay honor to the men and women who paid the ultimate sacrifice and given up their lives that we might enjoy the freedoms that we have today. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin today. Father, as we come to you, we're grateful and thankful for the opportunities that you give us today. We thank you, Lord, for the freedoms that we have. And Lord, may we always remember that those freedoms came with a price. Father, today we pray that as we gather together in your name that you will teach us from your word. And Lord, as always, we pray if there's one that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that today would be the day that there would be rejoicing of all the saints in heaven because that soul has given themselves over to you. So Lord, we ask that you would be with us in each and every aspect of our service, each and every aspect of what we do. May it honor and glorify you and bring praise to your name as we ask this in Jesus' name.
So we missed that by a couple of weeks, so maybe some other time. But please join me as we stand. Our two hymns today speak of soldiers for Memorial Day weekend. Please join me, 485, and stand with me as we sing Stand Up for Jesus.
Thank you. You may be seated. As we gather together today, I think that there are times when we get so caught up in the process of what is taking place and what is going on that we often fail to pause and to remember, to think about the nuts and bolts of really what gives us the freedoms and what gives us the rights and what gives us the opportunities to exercise those freedoms that we do in this country that we love, the country that we call the United States of America. As we gather together today, we probably haven't had in our minds the fact that there is somebody protecting our freedoms 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, even as we speak. They're watching over us. They're doing everything to ensure our safety. Our country is free today simply because there were those who were willing to stand in the gap. There were those who were willing to go to battle because freedom is worth fighting for, and in many cases, worth dying for. You know, we have several holidays that we observe throughout the calendar year. One of those is Veterans Day. We love our veterans, but today is not about Veterans Day. Today is about those who served in our armed forces. Today is about those who did not have the opportunity to come home. Today is a day that we remember their sacrifice. Today is a day that is very difficult for many families. Tomorrow as well, as they will go about their life without their loved one, as they will proceed day by day, they will think of the loved one that went out that never came home. May we each and every one remember that as we observe this Memorial Day, this Memorial Day. And you know, I've said so many times, folks, it is critical that we continue to teach our children that the freedoms that we have today had a price tag on them. They didn't come free. Would you pause with me for just a moment and take a look at this video as we have our mindset concerning Memorial Day and honoring those who paid the ultimate sacrifice.
Their lives ended in places called Bella Wood, Omaha Beach, Salerno, Guadalcanal, the Chosen Reservoir, the jungles of Vietnam, and the deserts and mountains of Iraq and Afghanistan. What they gave us is beyond our power to repay. So, all we can do is remember them. We see them in our minds as old and wise, when most of them were so young. And when they died, they gave up two lives. The one they were living, and the one they would have lived. No weapon in the world is more formidable than the will and courage of free men and women. The price for this freedom at times has been high, but we have never been unwilling to pay that price. There are those who say that we are in a time when there are no heroes. They just don't know where to look.
the choir. And for those who didn't make it last week on Sunday night, we had a wonderful evening of song. And I thank you for everybody who participated. And you're welcome to go take a look at that on the Facebook on our page. Now we sing hymn number 481, Am I a Soldier of the Cross? Please remain seated.
As you got your Bible, turn with me, if you would, to the book of Joshua, chapter 4. Joshua, chapter 4. As you find that, first of all, I want to say a very special and hearty thank you to Staff Sergeant Kirk Gross, United States Army retired, for presenting our wreath today. Kirk's history, he's been with us for quite some time and with our country for the whole time, has done at least two different tours at two different times back in the early 1990s, as well as this last conflict that involved Osama bin Laden and his crew. Kurt knows what it's like to run over an explosive device in a military vehicle, and we are glad that he is here today. You know, I think about things like this and the stories that I know, the stories that you don't know about the people that you interact with on a daily basis. Never before have I talked to one of these fellas that said, regardless of what happened, they would do it all over again to make sure that this country stays a free country. We think about that, and as sometimes we see visible signs of those that are protecting us in and around us, you see, you know, your patrol officers, you'll see them, you know, here on property, you'll see them in places that you go, and it gives you some assurance that somebody's there looking after you, but somebody's there looking after our freedoms as well. I can't say thank you enough to Kirk and to each and every one of our military personnel that have served in our armed forces over the years. There are many of those who saw combat, there are many of those who did not, but either way, we hold you in high esteem and high regard. Now, be sure that you're back on Veterans Day, because today is about those who didn't make it back. As we look at the book of Joshua chapter 4, we see some pretty interesting things that are taking place, some pretty interesting things that are going on in God's Word at this point. Now, most of us are extremely familiar with the story of Israel, how, let's just call them hard-headed. The Bible calls them a stiff-necked people. That was one of the things they used to, Kim Bendigo, that was one of his favorite words, stiff-necked people. And when we look at Israel, we see the journey that they had. This wasn't something that was just small. This wasn't just something that was brief. God told them, he said, I'm going to take you out of captivity in Egypt, and I'm going to lead you to the promised land. We've heard that that mentioned before, and it goes on, and God even gives descriptors, and he says it's going to be a land that flows with milk and honey. And he paints this picture of what this bliss will be like, you know, what the land that will yield forth crops, the beauty, the water, just everything that they needed. And then God also told them this. He said, you got to realize something, that land is occupied. That land has people in it. If you remember it, as you've read or if you picked up on it, it talks about the giants of Anak. So the Lord said this, you are going to have to fight to take what I'm giving you. But rest assured, I'm giving it to you. You will be victorious. And there's a whole bunch of if-thens in the Word of God. If you honor me, if you keep my word, if you keep my statutes, then I will bless you. Your barns will be full. Your fields will be full. Your families and homes will be full. And you will be blessed if you keep my commandments. You know what worries me today? The same holds true to the United States of America. If we want to remain a country that is blessed and is truly one nation under God, then we're going to have to get our act together. That was a real biblical term, wasn't it? Because obviously, we are not following the statutes of the Lord. Now, as we go forward in these particular passages, what we find is that God did exactly what he said he would do for Israel. He led them out of Egypt. He carried them through the Red Sea. You know, we know what happened there. Everybody that's watched cartoons in your life know what happened. God separated the Red Sea. Israel walked through on dry ground, got to the other side. All was going okay. I'm just going to say okay, because they got to that particular area where they got to look onto the promised land. Kadesh Barnea. We also know the story of the spies, right? 12 spies went out. And they came back. Now, here's something that's interesting that a lot of people don't think about. The spies confirmed everything that God told them. The spies said, it is truly a land that flows with milk and honey. In fact, it says they brought back samples. Remember, it says they brought back the samples of the grapes on a pole. I mean, they were just so big that even the pole was just bowing in the middle. And they said, it is everything God said it would be. But they some big giants in the land. That land is protected. Those giants, matter of fact, I think the term the scripture used is that we were like grasshoppers in their presence. And 10 of those spies said, we can't do this. We're not able. They will run over us like crazy. 2 of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, we are well able to do it. You see, there were 10 of them who were looking at what was going on in and around them. There were 2 of them that was looking at what God had promised them. And God always, always, always keeps his promise, doesn't he? Joshua and Caleb said, let's go get it. Why are we even debating this? God said he was going to deliver them over to us. What is the problem? Let's go. But you see, the other 10 were looking on the outward circumstances. They were looking at how large the people and the problems were. And because of that, they incited the rest of Israel. When they heard the reports, they're sitting there going, well, you know, it's 10 against 2. 10 of them said we shouldn't go. 2 of them said we should. And they became in this quandary about what they should do. At this point, God had had enough. Do you realize there comes a point in a time when God has had enough? God said, I've had enough of y'all. And he said, nope, you're going to be turned out into the wilderness until all of those men, the fighting men, the ones that right now should be willing and ready to follow and to go, they will die in the wilderness. They will not enter the promised land, nor will you until all of those that were disobedient are gone, until they have passed. Now, it's ironic what happens with Israel. They sit back and go, okay, we're sorry, we'll go. And remember what Moses said to them? You can go. I ain't going. That's not a direct quote, by the way. He said, I'm not going. He said, because let me tell you who else is not going. God is not going with you. If you try to go in there now, you will be defeated. And what did they do? Hard-headed, stiff-necked people they are. They decided to go anyway, and many of them died. So they're turned out into the wilderness for 40 years. Until all of those fighting men who should have known better died in the wilderness, and a new generation came up. And God even told Moses, he said, you're old man now, and you're going to die. I'm going to let you, you know, take a look at it once again. You're not going to go into it. I'm going to take care of your funeral arrangements. I'm going to bury you. It's all going to be okay. But he said, but I'm going to appoint another fella. Remember the one of the two that came back was a fella named Joshua, and he said, Joshua, you are going to be the new leader. I'm sure Joshua was not going, oh, goody. Because Joshua had also seen what had taken place. He had also been a part of those stiff-necked people. God said, nope, you're it. You're the one that I have chosen. You will be the one that will lead my people across the swollen Jordan into the land that I have promised you. Because you remember what you said before. You said that we can do this. Why? Simply because I told you I would be with you. Now, let me pause right there for just a second to remind you, God still tells us today, I will not leave you nor forsake you. I will uphold you in the middle of the battle, but you got to trust me. Don't turn your back on him. Listen, America, don't turn your back on God. That would be the absolute worst thing you could possibly do. So then everything culminates, and I'm just kind of giving you the background, and I am going to get to the scripture that we're going to be looking at here in just a moment. But what happens is God begins to give Joshua the orders. Here is the way this is going to be done. He says, you're going to get the priest, and they're going to carry the ark, and as the ark goes down into the Jordan, the waters are going to subside. Now, I love a passage. It's a different sermon for a different day, but it's so ironic that when those priests took the ark and they went out in front of the people, God didn't let them get about 100 yards or 50 yards away, and then all of a sudden the water started parting. Do you realize that the waters did not begin to part or pile up, as the word says it, until the feet of the priest touched the water? I think that there's a lot of similarities there. I think that with a lot of us today, God's waiting on our feet to touch the water. And I think that what's happened is we believe what God said. We've gone down to the river, but we're standing on the riverbank. And we're sitting there going, God, how come you're not doing anything? God said, I told you to cross. And we're standing there with our feet dry. You know what? It's time to say, well, here we go. Let's just wade on into the water and see what happens. Sometimes you got to wade into the water to see what God's going to do. It wasn't until the priest's foot touched the water and they said, we're going forward, that the waters began to pile up to where they could cross them. Now, it's going to bring us to the scripture today because there were other things that were in keeping with this scripture that God told Joshua that he was to do. Now, I want you to get the picture that the priests are standing there in the middle of what used to be the swollen river, holding the ark. And remember, the ark represents the presence of God to them. So then here's what happens. Look at Joshua chapter 4, beginning with verse 4. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. Verse 6, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. Let's pray together. Father, your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, I pray right now that your word would pierce our hearts. Lord, that you would help us to hear the Holy Spirit's leadership and guidance in our heart and in our life today. Lord, may the crooked paths be straightened by you. Lord, may we cooperate with your pruning in our lives. Draw us close to you. Lord, reach out to those who don't know you this very day. For Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So you see what was taking place here. There was something that God had ordered them to do. He told Joshua that when you cross, there is a very significant event that is going to take place, a miracle that is going to take place in your life and in the life of the nation. I am going to deliver you into that promised land. I am going to make the waters part. I'm going to make them stand back, and you are going to cross on dry ground. But now, as you do, here's what you're going to do. You are going to pick up 12 different stones representative of each of the 12 tribes of Israel from out there where the water used to be. And it says, and you will carry them across into the new land. And it says, and when you get to that new land, what you will do is you will set these stones up as a memorial. A memorial. Listen, what is it that we are going to tip our hats to tomorrow? It's called what day? Memorial Day. Why do we have memorials? We have memorials to remember. We have memorials to remind us. Because don't we need reminded? How many of you need reminders? Where are my sticky note people? You're my people. Where are my electronic calendar people? Y'all get messed up if the battery goes dead. But let me tell you something. God has said, you need to remember. And today, we need to remember. Because what God, listen, God was with them the whole time. There were times that they weren't acknowledging that. There were times when they went about their lives in a daily routine, much like we do. But God has always led them. God has always guided them. And the same holds true to you and I today. And today, I preach with the freedom, without the fear of government intervention, because somebody was willing to go out and pay the price for the freedoms that we enjoy today. Now, I have preached where I didn't have that freedom before. Let me tell you, it's a world of difference. Yeah, you go into one of those socialist or communistic countries and you stand up to preach, it could cost you your very freedom. I've done that. Let me tell you something. I enjoy terra firma of the United States of America. I'm like, Lord, I love to go. Thank you for allowing me to be an instrument in your hand. But let me tell you what else I look forward to. I look forward to when the wheels go up on that plane coming back home. Because we live in a free country. And we need to remember that. We need to remember that it was bought with a price. And he said this, he said, as you take those stones across into the new land, as you build the altar, you do it for a reason. The reason is you're going to get some questions asked of you later on. Go back to verse 6. Verse 6 says, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Now, let me pause right there for just a moment. Moms and dads all across America, you're going to be asked questions by your kids. How many of you all remembered the why stage? Why? I want you to do this. Why? And what is the answer that we did not like to hear? Because I said so. That was not good enough. We wanted to know. I want to know why. You tell me why you want me to do this. And then, like I said, if we were smart enough at that age, we would say, well, we're apologetics people. We need to know why we believe what we believe and what we do. So why is it that you want me to take out the garbage? Because I told you to. All right? So it says, when the children ask you, they're going to ask you. Let me make something very, very eminently clear to you this morning. Your children are going to ask you questions about spiritual things. Are you ready to give them the answers? The right answers. Your children are going to ask you. And folks, I want to tell you right now, it bothers me that in the United States of America today, we are trying to change history. You can't change history. You can't change it. History, it is what it is. How about the times when you drive through Triad Park over there and all of a sudden you see the memorial that is set up to honor our soldiers? You know what happens? One of these days, little kids are going to ask you, your children or your grandchildren are going to say, "What is that?" Man, what a perfect opportunity to express to them the freedoms that we enjoy and the sacrifices and the prices that were paid because God has allowed the freedoms in this country. Man, that can be a Christian witness. That can be a witness to a true American patriot. It can be in so many ways. And I've said this before. I get it. Tomorrow, you're going to spend time with family. Tomorrow, you're going to fire up the grill. Tomorrow, the pools are going to open. Tomorrow is going to be that day that you're going to get some well-deserved rest from your job. But it is about more than cookouts and swimming pools and family gatherings. Listen, I'm not saying don't do that, but what I am saying is take the time to go by one of these memorials, to stop along your way, to pay honor to those who gave up the ultimate sacrifice. It's like the video said, they gave up two lives, the lives that they were living and the lives that they would live, that you and I might enjoy these freedoms. And not only that, even the punks that are so boisterous in our society today, the right for them to even have the freedom to say that has been purchased by the blood of the United States soldier. And all the while we gather and while we go about our life, there is a diligent, vigilant watch that is taking place. Not one true patriot soldier that I know has ever regretted what they did. And they said, for the freedom of our country, for the freedom of our children, for the freedom of our grandchildren and great-grandchildren and down the line, it is worth the battle. What memorial stones are we setting up in our lives today? Let me tell you something that bothers me. The lack of gratitude in our society today. Lack of gratitude, you know how it goes. Have you ever done something for somebody and it was just like a snatch and grab, and they take off? It's like, well, at least you could have said thank you. Most of us know what that's like, because usually what follows up is, well, you see if I ever do that again. Gratitude goes a long way. Man, I love seeing our guys out. I love buying a cup of coffee or a meal. I love telling them, listen, you're one of my heroes. Thank you for your service. Thank you for being willing to stand in the gap for me. Thank you for being willing to be there so that I might have the opportunity to preach this gospel that will save people from their sins and death and hell and damnation. Thank you for that opportunity. But the Lord says memorials are important, not about tearing them down, but about erecting those memorials and being able to remember. And by the way, remembrance can bring tears or it can bring joy. It will be different for many people. Even the bad things. Listen, if there are bad things that are taking place, we need to remember that we don't need to do that anymore. The good things that have happened, the victories that we have had, the freedoms we enjoy, we need to remember that, not just on Memorial Day weekend, not just on Veterans Day weekend, but every day of our lives, we need to remember that we are blessed to live in a free country. That we are blessed because God has taken care of us. But now there's also, I feel a stern warning that goes along with this. Just like Israel, when God has had enough, God has had enough. The if-then statements that he gave Israel are true to the United States of America today. If you keep my word, then I will bless you. We're going in the wrong direction as a country, folks. I'm not trying to get political with you. I am talking about the morals, the biblical concept of the United States of America. You know, I'm not sitting here talking about Democrat, Republican. I'm talking about God's word and God's direction. We're not heading in the right direction. And God has warned us and warned us and warned us. You see, I don't think we're paying attention to the memorials, to the memorial stones. I don't think that we're teaching our children properly. In fact, I've said this before, I think part of our problem is the children run the household now. Didn't happen when I was growing up. A lot of y'all's hair is getting gray like mine. And you know what? If I tried to run the house, I had a setback. I'd get knocked back on my sit down. That was called a setback. That's how that worked. I've said it before. I had the Board of Education applied to the seat of my learning a whole bunch growing up. And folks, what bothers me is it seems like our parents just don't care about our kids anymore. Don't care. We got a soft generation. It's not, listen, we can't blame the kids. We need to blame the parents. That's us. That's our fault. Because we haven't done what we needed to do when it comes to this. And we are reaping, I'm not going to call it the benefits because it's not a benefit. We are seeing what it is bringing us to. We can't even have a conversation anymore, can we? No logical thinking, no spiritual thinking. Oh, and let me tell you this, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. He says, when your children see those memorials, they're going to ask you questions. They're going to ask you, verse 6, what do these stones mean to you? Have you realized how personal that question is? The question wasn't, what do these stones mean? The question is, what do these stones mean to you? Remember what we've said about kids? Kids are little versions of who you are. I keep trying to tell that to parents today. I said, you know what? If it's not important in your life, it will not be important in your children's lives. Plain and simple. Whatever you prioritize, they'll prioritize. Because you're teaching them that. Whether you sit down with a chalkboard. That's old, isn't it? A dry erase board. Yeah, you know, you're not sitting there teaching them in a class like that, but you're teaching them by the way you live. What do these stones mean to you? What does this soldier's cross mean to you? What does this Bible mean to you personally? That's kind of up in your face questions, aren't they? Because let me make you a promise. How you react to each of those says exactly what each of those mean to you. How you react to the U.S. soldier. How you react to the Word of God speaks volumes of what's in here. It is time for us to repent, to go back, to do the first works, to fall in love with God all over again, to fall in love with the country again and allow God to work through us for us to truly, truly be one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That's what we need to be. What does it mean to you? What does it mean to you? Goes on in verse 7, he says, then you shall answer them. He says, when they ask you what these stones mean to you, you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. What do these stones mean to you? Let me tell you what they mean. It means a time when God did some incredible things in the life of Israel. You know, when your children ask you about the things that are taking place, what are the spiritual markers that you run up? Are you bragging on God and what he's done in your life? Can you sit back and say, well, tell me, what does this mean to you? Oh, let me tell you what this means to me. Well, what does this mean to you? Let me tell you what it means to me. God has blessed me in so many ways I can't even begin to imagine it. But you know what? I can preach this message today with more fervency than ever because I've been where I couldn't preach it with the freedom that has been purchased for me. I understand and I know Let me tell you something. If you don't know, take it from somebody who does. Listen to the people who do. You don't want socialism or communism in this country. Let me make you that promise. I've experienced it. I have lived in it, and you don't want that. You think you can open your mouth and pop off like you do today? You'll find yourself under the jail. You don't have that right there. You have the right they give you, and they can take away from you moment by moment. Oh no, the shed blood of the American soldier has bought our freedom, and the shed blood of Jesus Christ has bought our salvation. Plain and simple. What does it mean to you? I know what it means to me. This day is a hard day. It's a hard day. Yeah, tomorrow's going to be a very difficult day for a lot of people. As we go out and cook our hamburgers and go to the... But I'm not saying don't do that, but I am saying we need to pause and remember. But you know, for a lot of people whose loved ones did not come back, tomorrow is a very difficult day. They will stand at a gravestone. They will stand at a memorial. And they will look at a country who really doesn't care to a degree about what their loved ones sacrificed. Whew, that's a shame, isn't it? That's a shame. For those who have been touched in some way by war, you understand more about how hard Memorial Day really is. I've said before, there are people in my life, a fellow who was a few years older than me that was much like a big brother. Man, I admired him. Eugene Camera lived two doors down from me, affectionately known by all of us as Mikot Camera. He was in that bombing in Beirut, 1983, on the first floor when that building was taken out. I lost my brother. It devastated a little small town in southern West Virginia. But you know something? I remember him to this day. He did not die in vain. In fact, I wear the memorial bracelet that carries his name. That we never forget. Never forget. Well, you just an old fogey, preacher. You just an old patriotic fogey. Yes, I am. And I am proud to be. This shall be a memorial to you. Now, drop on down in God's word, same passage down to verse 20. He's still talking about those stones. Verse 20, he says, and those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their father in time to come, saying, what are these stones? We see it again here a little bit further down, don't we? When the children ask, what are these stones? Verse 22, then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over, that all the people of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Do you see what happened? When the people ask, we need to point them to God. Remember what he said? Those stones are to remind us of what God did at the Red Sea when our people left Egypt. Those stones are to remind us how he dried up the Jordan so that we could cross on dry ground. And oh, by the way, it was God who did it. It was God who did it. Call it whatever you want. It was God. We got to give him the credit for it. I don't know how God works. All I know is he does. I've seen some incredible things in my life that I know have just been God things. I have been protected by him. I have watched some things that could go on a television show. What is that? The Carbonara effect, or Carb, whatever his name is, the magician. He ain't got nothing on God. I've watched God just blind soldiers in other countries to contraband that we had, and contraband being Bibles or spiritual materials. I've seen him distract people in airports. I've seen us have the opportunity by the grace of God to field music ministries across Santiago, Cuba by smuggling instruments in that were never found in a military style duffel bag. How did we figure that one out? I said, Lord, how am I gonna get this instrument over there? He said, just pack it in that bag. I was like, really? He goes, yeah. He said, just put some clothes on the top of it. Have Jana put some clothes on the top of it because they're too lazy to go through it. We have fielded bands over in Cuba. And then one day we got caught. What's all this stuff for? Worship. You planning on leaving it? We'd like to. Soldier standing there with us crowd going, okay, what's going to happen now? And he leans in, he goes, I'm a believer. Y'all go on. And then we got stopped again at the door in a language I don't understand. And I was like, whoa. And they're snatching them bags and getting ready to do all kinds of stuff. And the guy down the hall goes, hey! Because he outranked them. And he went. And when he went, I went. And right out the door, God is good. And all the time. Not some of the time. All of the time. We owe a debt of gratitude to those who have served us. Those who have fought. They have done it under the hand of God to purchase our freedoms. Central Baptist Church will never forget. Roy Carter will never forget. Will you join me in never, ever forgetting? I ask you today as you consider and contemplate what the Lord has placed on your heart, first of all, do you know Him? You see, that's what it's all about. Everything that we do, everything that we say, everywhere we go, needs to magnify Him. Now, I'm not saying that you got to carry your 97-pound Scofield reference edition and wear your coat and tie out and browbeat everybody with the Bible. In fact, that doesn't work. But you see, here's a really cool part. You know what God told us that we were supposed to do? What we are supposed to do is we are supposed to tell people about the things that we personally have seen and heard. What has God done in your life that you can testify to? Just like, remember what he said on the stones? When the children ask, what are these? We need to tell them. You know, one of these kids around here one of these days is going to say, what's the story with the boots and the rifle and the helmet and everything? And don't just say, oh, it's a Memorial Day thing we do. Don't you dare do that. Tell them why we do what we do. Allow God to do some incredible things in your life that you can't wait to tell other people about. Well, let me ask you this. Have you trusted Him? I'm not asking if you have some form of religion. Religion I'm not interested in. Satanism's a religion. What I'm interested in is your personal relationship with a holy God through Jesus Christ. Has there been that time when you have confessed, Lord, I realize I am a sinner, and because of my sin, I deserve death and hell. That's what I deserve. But thanks be to God, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the perfect once for one and all sacrifice of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, and through the resurrection, death, hell, and sin have been conquered. And Lord, you stand at the door and knock. Today, I am opening the door. Lord, forgive my sins. Take my heart. Have you done that? Now, I'm not saying did you check the box, because Jesus in you changes you. Because what happens is from that moment on, you need to begin to start living for Him. Are you doing that? See, a lot of us are a bunch of prodigal sons. We roam away, then we come back. We roam away. Listen, get back at the feet of Jesus. Have you trusted Him? If not, I don't care what your excuses are. Well, I'm a church person. Well, hell's going to be full of church people. I'm a good person. Hell's going to be full of good people. Only heaven's going to be full of saved people. And I think some of us are going to be real surprised who we're going to see there. Have you given your life to Christ? If not, There's an invitation that the Lord's given you right now to do that. Confess to Him, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. Forgive my sins. Save my soul. It's that easy to get started. Wherever you are, do that right now. In just a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation, a good old-fashioned altar call. You're welcome to use the altar. You're welcome to speak with me. Listen, we want to help you. If you've trusted Christ, let us know. This, if you're part of our online audience that's viewing today or whenever you're having a chance to watch it, let us know. We want to celebrate with you. We're not going to bother you. Man, we're going to do the hip, hip hoorays. We want to get you some information to help you grow in God's grace in your journey as you go forward. Maybe today we just realize, like the prodigal son, we just woke up in the hog pen for another day. And maybe today's the day we've come to ourselves and we said, I don't want this anymore. Lord, I'm coming home. Listen, will you run to Him? I promise He will meet you. He is running to you. He will meet you. You are welcome. The prodigal said, I'm just going to ask Dad for a job. I don't even deserve to be his son anymore. I basically just told him I wished that he was dead when I left. But I want a job. I'll see if Dad will give me a job. Well, Dad didn't just give him a job. Dad restored him to sonship. Dad's still restoring people to sonship today. Will you trust Him? What is it that you need to do? I'm going to ask our musicians to take their place as we enter our time of invitation. And regardless of whether or not you act or react to this invitation, as far as making a response to it, make a response to it wherever you may be. If you're driving down the road in the car, if you're sitting in your living room, if you are here today, how will you respond to what God has placed in your heart? How do you look at the memorial stones? For me, having been touched in a personal experience way of knowing guys who went out that didn't come home, it brings tears to my eyes. But you know what else it does? It helps me understand and appreciate the freedom of which I have that I will exercise because they paid the price for it. What response do you need to make to the Father today? I'm here, the altar's here, whatever it is. As we stand, as we sing our invitation hymn, you make your response to the Master. Heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, and as you sing those words, as you think about them, may they be a prayer from your heart to the Father's. You do business with Him. Don't let this moment get away from you. I'm also asking our ushers if they would make their way down to the front as we receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him.
Our Father, today we come to you grateful and thankful for provision. Lord, for the roof that's over our head, the shoes on our feet, the food on the table, we give you thanks. Now, Lord, we come to that time where you have asked us to be faithful, to return the portion to you that you have blessed us with, just a small portion. Lord, that you might bless us in an even greater way. Lord, may we be found faithful as we continue to worship you by giving you the tithe and the offering as we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Don't have choir practice tonight. Okay, I just wanted to make sure because I have it on here. With it being Memorial Day weekend, we do not have evening activities here at the church this evening. I do want to remind you that next Sunday, which is June the 5th, can you believe that, is our graduation Sunday. So we want you to come join us as we celebrate and honor our graduating seniors this year. We're probably going to have them have a table set up in the other building. So if between Sunday school or before or after worship, be sure to go by there, take a look at that, slip some $100 bills in their hands. That's what we say more often than not. But at least go by, let them know how proud you are. And by the way, I get part of that, Michael. I get a commission, all right? But at any rate, be sure, let's celebrate with our graduates as they cross these milestones, and man, we're excited about what lies ahead. So that is next week. Don't have any birthdays or anniversaries for this week. I do want to make one statement as we close out. Some of you have heard of the brouhaha that is going on in the Southern Baptist Convention with the report that has come out in regard to sexual abuse and the handling or lack thereof. The report of the last year at the convention, the messengers voted to have an independent investigation done. The data on that has been released, and it is staggering, to say the least. I will be more than happy to provide you with a copy of that report. Now, let me qualify when I say a copy of that report. I can't print it out for you. It's 288 pages, so we're still digesting some of that. I will be happy to send you an electronic copy of that. In other words, I will email you a copy of that so you can go to it at your leisure.
But in just a few weeks, the 2022 Southern Baptist Convention will be held in Anaheim, California. And I have a feeling this is going to be a large part of the topic of what's going to be taking place there. I ask that you keep me in your prayers. I will be there. So we'll do the best we can to represent the Lord well. But you know what? There's some things that need to be done, obviously. And like I said, there are some things that really just were sickening. But nonetheless, we need to correct those things and be able to go forward that we might truly be able to be what God wants us to be in representatives for Him. So if you want a copy of that, just get me your email address, or you can call the office sometime this week. And when Debbie gets me your email address, I will send you a copy of that. But I think it's critical that you know what all's taking place. You will hear it from other places. You probably heard it from news sources. You might want to read the actual report and know that Central Baptist Church remains steadfast to be able to do what is true and what is wholesome, what is right, and what is legal as we face these issues going forward. Okay? So with that, I'm going to ask David Miller, our associate pastor, if he's got anything he needs to share with us, and then see us off in a word of prayer.
I remind you that pastor's already said something about graduation day coming up. May has been a very, I guess, festive month. We've had a lot of special things going on. June's the same way, Father's Day. A lot of things going on in the life of our church. Also, the nominating committee is getting ready to start meeting. I want you to start praying about where you want to serve God next year. Let me lead you in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the privilege we have of being in your house today. God, we thank you for the men and women who have given their lives historically for our freedom. And we celebrate their lives today. We remember their sacrifice. And Father, we realize that because the world we live in, there will be new names added to that every year. God, bless the families who have also sacrificed a loved one for our freedom. Most of all, Father, we thank you that you sacrificed your Son for our freedom, for eternal freedom. Lord, as we go from this place today, help us to remember who you are and who these people are who've given their lives for us. And help us to honor that memory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.